key thing. Okay, some are away at a wedding, so a joyful occasion. So that's the reason you don't see some faces. We have been going through Exodus. We have a series on Exodus. It will take us over into the new year. We hope you're following along. One goal of this church, we came together in April and we, you know, sought the Lord as a church, community. What does the Lord want for this community? One of these points was point number two. There's 16 points. Point number two on the fundamentals. The congregation here felt we want to have a deep understanding of the Bible, which guides our living, fostered through preaching, reading, and study. We want to have a deep understanding. You know, we don't want to be mile wide and an inch deep. We want a deeper understanding of the Bible, which guides our living. So what we hear today and what we're in during the week should affect us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, on the job, in the home, in school, in our community, right? And it fostered by preaching, reading, and study. Preaching, that's what we're doing here, okay? Every Sunday, there's classes at 10 o'clock. There's this session to minister the Word of God. We believe the Word of God is inspired by God, it's powerful, and it can change people. It can change lives, right? So we need the ministering of the Word to impact us. That's what we're trying. Okay, fostered by preaching and reading and study. Okay, so our part, I'm doing part of it, preaching, ministering. There's a part for you to do. That is what? Reading and study. Okay, so, you know, I want to encourage you, charge you, you know, what you hear today, you know, some brothers get together during the week to prepare. We study, we pray and we fellowship and we get into the Bible to prepare a message to minister, 30 minutes maybe. Okay, and we prepare materials because there's more than we can say, right? So we prepare materials to help. You know, we make those available in hard copy. I also send it, you know, I send people an email which has the same material. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you, please, you know, respect that. Use that. That is there to help you. Right? If you get into it, that will help you. You want to be changed? Do you want to be changed? I hope so. You know, it's not a compliment. If somebody comes to you 10 years from now and 20 years now and say, you know, you haven't changed. Maybe they're talking about your faith. Okay, it's a compliment. If they're not talking about your faith, it's not a compliment. If somebody says, you have not changed, you say, why are you insulting me? Because why? As Christians, the Bible and the ministry of the Word, our contact with God should change us, right? What, you know, what we share is not just information, it's to give you transformation. We should be changed. Paul talks about this. We are being transformed, changed by God. Out of the old creation into the new. That happens by what? By us contacting God by prayer, by us allowing the Word of God to affect us. How does that happen? It happens here, and it's going to happen Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday if you cooperate. What's your part? Please read the material. Please study it. Right? I think we got a lot of good minds here. I hope you apply it. You know, you get an email from Nigel, don't just press delete. Delete, delete, delete. That's your loss. That's your loss. I don't lose a thing. You lose. You know, this, you know, we labor to get into these things. And what we minister here, you know, we didn't just think about it on the way to the meeting. We've been in this before the Lord to get something. I hope that you would receive it and get into it during the week and you will be changed. Join a Bible study, join a home group and get into it. Sorry. You say, Nigel, why are you mad? I'm not mad. See? Be a Berean. Be a Berean. You say, what's that? Acts 17 verse 11. Okay, sorry. That's not my message. Okay, let's come to the message. Sorry. All right. We're in a series in Exodus. God reveals, God rescues. 2 points today, this morning. God is going to rescue. That is deliverance. Deliverance is a rescue. Number two, there's this matter. There should be a distinction. God makes a distinction between those people who are his people and not his people. If you contact God, if you're in touch with God, there should be a difference, distinction, difference in your life, difference in you, difference in your family, difference in your home compared to others. That's the distinction. We see this. Okay, let's read the, we're up to the matter of the plagues. We'll read a little bit. There's more for you to read. We're in chapter 8, 9, 10. We're going to read a few of the verses. We have them. Okay. I think we got them. Yeah. Okay. All right. Chapter 8, verse 20. Yahweh. We got into that. You don't know what that is? Please check your back email. Check your spam, your trash. Get into it. Okay. Yahweh, the Lord, said to Moses, God said to Moses, the Lord said to Moses, Yahweh said to Moses, Moses, get up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh. Tell Pharaoh, this is what Yahweh says. Let my people go that they may worship me. God wants a people for him to worship him. But if you, Pharaoh, will not let my people go, I will send you swarms of flies against you, against your officials, your people, your houses, and the Egyptian houses will swarm with flies, and so will the land where they live. Right? It's another plague, the fourth plague. But on that day, this is significant, God says, there's something new, fourth plague, I will give special treatment, or I will make a distinction. I will distinguished, the land of Goshen, where my people are living, no flies will be there. Where God's people are, no flies. Where the other areas, flies. This way you will know that I, Yahweh, am in the land. It's me. It's Yahweh behind this. Okay, the last part again, right? I will make a distinction. Difference, distinction between my people and your people. This sign will take place tomorrow. And the Lord did this. Six swarms of flies went into Pharaoh's palace, his officials' houses throughout Egypt. The land was ruined because of the swarms of flies. Right? It's a plague. First plague, changed the river, the water to blood. Second plague, flies, frogs, lots of them. Third plague, lice or gnats, bugs. Fourth plague, flies. Fifth plague, sixth plague. There's a section in Psalms which gives a brief summary. I think we have that. Let's see. Yeah, Psalm, looking back, Psalm 78 says this, looking back. Says, Yahweh, the Lord, performed his miraculous signs in Egypt. He turned their rivers to blood. Well, that's one plague. And they could not drink from their streams. He sent among them swarms of flies, which fed on them, and frogs. That's another one, which devastated them. He gave their crops to the caterpillar, the fruit of their labor to the locust, another plague. He killed their vines with hail and their sycamore tree, fig trees with a flood. He handed over their livestock to hail and their cattle with lightning bolts. There's a series of plagues. We have a video to give you an idea. I think, you know, we're very visual these days. So let's watch the little video. 2 minutes.
All I ever wanted.
I send the thunder from the sky, I send the fire raining down.
And even now, I wish that God had chose another, serving as your foe on his behalf. It's the last thing that I wanted. This was my home. All this pain and devastation, how it tortures me inside. All the innocent who suffer from your stubbornness and pride. Called brother, why must you call down another blow?
I've said my skirt, I've said my soul.
Let my people go.
Thus saith the Lord.
You, who I called brother, how could you have come to hate me so? Is this what you wanted? Be hardened, and never mind how high the cost may grow. This will still be so. I will never let your people go.
Okay, got the idea? Let's now you can read 3 chapters 8, 9, 10. It goes through the different plagues one by one. God sent the plagues for a purpose, and Dell started out for us last week. The purpose of the plagues. Number one, Pharaoh has God's people, Israel, in bondage, in slavery, under oppression, and Pharaoh will not let God's people go. Pharaoh says, I'm God. Who is Yahweh? I don't know Yahweh. I'm God. I'm in control. I'm the boss. I control things. Okay, God wants to release his people from Pharaoh so that they can worship him. So one purpose of the plagues is to get Pharaoh to release his grip on God's people. Secondly, God wants his people to know him, Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They need to know him. And God is going to reveal himself as their personal God. And this was an important point we made. You know, in many translations, it says the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. That the Lord is in place of a substitute for Yahweh. In the Hebrew original, the word is Yahweh. Yahweh is the personal name of God, and that is significant. In Genesis chapter 1, he's God. God created the heavens and earth. He's Elohim. He's God. He's the creator. You know, and that's the same as Islam, Allah. Islam has Allah. Genesis 1 has God. They're both God. However, the Christian faith is different. Allah, the God of Islam, is not personal. You cannot have a relationship with him. He's God, you're not. He's mighty, you're not. He's great, and you're not. Right? Whatever he does, he does. However, the Christian faith is different. The Christian faith says, yes, God is God. God is the creator. But this God is a personal God. He's personal. He wants to be personal. How do you know? He says, this is my name. I reveal my name because, and I'm, you know, chapter 6. I'm going to be Yahweh to these people. I'm going to do this for that for them. I'm going to deliver them, rescue them. I'm going to bring them out of oppression. I'm going to bring them to myself. I will be their God, and they will be my people because I'm Yahweh. God wants a personal relationship with people. Amen? That's the God of the Bible. Right? 6,800 times in the Old Testament, he is Yahweh. Right? That's a lot. That's the main theme. He wants relationship. Okay, you see it here. My people, their God. Brothers and sisters, it's the same. That principle carries over to the new covenant. Right? He wants to be our God. We're his people. Right? Amen. Right? Okay, he wants to be the personal God to Israel. They would know him. So they're rescued from Egypt, not for nothing. God wants them to be his people and to worship him. Right? He's going to deliver them. They can. And secondly, he wants also the Egyptians to know. Same thing. I am Yahweh. That tells you, and Del made this point last week. God's salvation is actually not just open to Israel. It's also open to Egyptians. They just need to respond, right? God is Yahweh to Israel. He also wants to be known as Yahweh to any Egyptian who will respond. God is not exclusive. God is inclusive, right? I have a quote, you know. So when God says, you know, I want to be known to the, I'm going to make myself known as Yahweh, yes, to Israel, but yes, also to the Egyptians. That means God is open to being their God also if they respond. I have a quote from Walter Kaiser. Okay, I think we have his picture. Yeah, there you go. There he is. He's an Old Testament professor. Okay, here's the quote. Here's the quote. Not only would Israel, based on this section, not only would Israel know what was meant by the name Yahweh, personal God, but also the Egyptians. In addition to knowing the significance of Yahweh, these miracles, even these plagues, would also be an invitation. This is an invitation to the Egyptians to personally believe in this Lord, this God. There's an implicit invitation. Okay, Pharaoh's not God. There's another God who's the real God. You want to respond to him? You want to belong to him? You can. Thus, the invitation was pressed repeatedly, and some apparently did believe, for there was a mixed multitude, politically correct language, there's an ethnically diverse population that left Egypt with Israel. Yes, God has his people, but that's not exclusive. If anybody else, Egyptians, whatever, want to respond, they can. They can be for this God, respond to this God. They can also make the Exodus. Some did. Okay, that's in the Old Testament, God is not exclusive. Yes, he has a people, but that's not exclusive. New Testament is even clearer. You know, God so loved the world. That means everybody. Right? God so loved the world. He gave his only son for everybody. God desires all people to be saved. All people to be saved. Right? Amen. I like it. All right? It's implicit in the Old Testament here. It's explicit in the New Testament. Right? God wants to be your God, my God, our personal God. We would know him, right? Have him in our life, the real God, as the true God. Okay, Egypt had their own gods. They're the gods of Egypt, right? I think we have a picture somewhere. Let's see if we... Right, Egypt had their own gods, including Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, I'm God. They had the river god, the frog god, the sun god, different gods. The people, the Bible talks about the gods of Egypt, right? And Israel, even God's people, had been in Egypt 400 years. Don't you think they're influenced? You're in Egypt 400 years. You're in that society, in that environment. There are gods of Egypt. To some extent, even God's people are influenced by that. Later, Joshua says, looking back, choose this day whom you will serve. You want to serve the real God? That's Joshua, end of Joshua. Choose this day whom you will serve. Joshua says, I'm going to serve Yahweh, the real, true God. You choose whom you will serve. Are you going to choose Yahweh or someone else? Are you going to choose Yahweh or are you going to choose the gods of Egypt, which your fathers served? See, in Egypt, yeah, they were there. They're also influenced by the gods of Egypt. God wants to rescue his people. Yes, from that oppression. Yes, from slavery. Also from the gods of Egypt, from serving other gods to be his. Amen. So here in this chapter, there's verses that talk about God will execute his judgment on the gods of Egypt. Right? That's part of the purpose of the plagues. Amen. Right? Today, the same thing. God wants people to serve him, to worship him, right? And not to serve other things, not to have other gods, other replacement in their life. Think about this. You know, the first plague turned the river Nile to blood. The first plague affected the river Nile. Why the river Nile? Because the river Nile was the source of life in Egypt. I think we have a picture. If you look from even today, you look at Egypt at night. I think we have a picture from space. No, keep going. Yeah, there you go. That's okay, on the left. That's Egypt. On the left. Left side. That line is what? That line's the River Nile, where all the lights are. Because the river's, you know, why? Because in Egypt, all the development is along the river, right? All the way from the south to the north to the Nile Delta. All the civilization, the development, the urban area in Egypt is along the river. Egypt depends on the River Nile. No Nile, no Egypt. Why? Everything else is desert. Right? If you ever, you know, you ever take a flight, fly over Egypt, right? We've been down that way. You look down, desert. Right? It's the part of the Sahara Desert. Okay. On the only source, the main source of water, 90-odd%, Nile. Because you got the River Nile, you got water, you can grow things, you can grow produce for your right, you can grow crops, you can grow produce, you can grow food stock for your cattle, for your herds, right? You got transportation, you got energy. Everything in Egypt depends on the River Nile. No Nile, no Egypt, right? The first thing God touched was the River Nile, changed the Nile to blood to show that. Why? Because to the Egyptians, They connected the river, God with the River Nile. River Nile was their God. They depended on the River Nile. All their life source was from the River Nile. Food from the River Nile, right? Meat from the River Nile, everything from the River Nile. Okay, you're dependent on the River Nile. God showed them, no, there's something, someone greater than the River Nile. There's the real true God above that. Right? That's not your God. The real God, Yahweh, is your God. Amen. Right? So, I have a quote for you from another teacher. His name is Longman, Tremper Longman. He said this, and he sent, yeah, there he is. Okay. He says this, we'll just read the last part. An essential aspect of the plagues, readers often miss, they are not just plagues against Egypt, or even plagues against Pharaoh alone, they are attacks on the Egyptian gods. The plagues are against the Egyptian gods. Some scholars go further. The Nile River was a source of all the agricultural fertility in the land. If there's no Nile, there's no Egypt. The Egyptian god of fertility, Hapi, maybe, H-A-P-I, was accordingly closely related to the River Nile. When the Nile was attacked by turning its waters into blood, that would be envisioned as an attack on Hapi, the River Nile god. The main point stands clearly and powerfully. The successful plagues represented a putting of the Egyptian gods in their place. They're not the real god. They're the counterfeit God, the replacement gods. The real God of the universe is God, and he's a personal God, Yahweh. He's greater than Pharaoh, greater than the River Nile, greater than frogs, frog gods, greater than the sun God. He's the real God, right? Don't worship that. Worship the real God. Don't serve that. Serve the real God. So that's the point here. So, there's this point. You know, sometimes we have difficulties in our life. Frustrations, irritations, things happen, to disturb us. Why? You say, I'm a Christian. The first three plagues was on everybody. Yes, the later plagues, there's a distinction. First three plagues affected everybody. Sometimes we're going on in our life and the things are going fine. Things are going wonderfully. Everything's worked out. And, you know, kind of God disappears in the rearview mirror. We're doing fine. We're doing wonderful. Everything's going according to plan. Life is wonderful. The great American dream. What happened? God is kind of disappearing. Other things are taking prominence. My life, my prosperity, you know, my property, my pension, my position, my profession, my portfolio, all the P's. My prestige, right? Right? Then those are taking a priority. God is disappearing. What does God do? God may send you a little irritation. God may send you some frogs. God may send you some difficulties. You know, everything was fine. You buy the nice house. You get the house you want. Okay, great. But then there's the house next door sells. You get a different set of neighbors. You don't choose your neighbors. Irritation, right? You buy your condo. Then the people upstairs, the people around you, they also buy condos. They have kids. They have dogs. They have all kind of stuff. They have parties. What is that? God, maybe God is sending you a little irritation to realize, no, don't set your hope on this house, this condo, this apartment. No. What should be priority in your life? God. God. The source of everything is not your, you know, what will fulfill your dreams is not this dream house, dream condo, dream apartment, dream job. You get the job you want. Then the boss, right? But you find out the boss is not the boss you want. The co-workers are not the co-workers you want. God sends you some irritation. Why? So you don't set your hope fully on that job, on that profession. God wants us to serve him, worship him. The purpose of the plagues is to turn you and I back to God. Amen? You get the dream car you want. Same thing. Sorry, I don't have time. Think about it. The dream car, the dream job, the dream house, the dream spouse. The dream kids. You say, oh, you know, my kids should be perfect. Then you find out, yeah, when they're born, they're perfect. Just wait till they grow. Then you find out, how come my kids are not perfect? Well, maybe God sent you a little irritation so you don't set your hope fully on these kids, because no kid is perfect and you're not perfect either. Guess what? You're not perfect and you don't beget perfect children. Right? So God wants us to set our hope on him, but he's the Savior. Amen? So the purpose of the plagues is to get us off those things onto God. To serve and worship God, have God in the place in our lives where he should be, where we really desire he would be. That is our hope. That's our expectation. Okay. You know, Jesus came and brought in the new covenant that he could be our God. We could be his people, right? That makes us Christians. We're in this covenant. Amen. Right? He's our God. So we're going to have the communion, Lord's table, right now. We ask the musician to come up, right? It's a celebration. Lord, you have freed us. Amen. You freed us as a people to yourself. We want to have you in our lives. We want you to take that place. We want to give you the place that you desire, that we really in our heart of hearts want you to have. That makes us your people. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we welcome you to participate. If you know, if you hear the first time, you're not, you know, you don't know quite what's going on, the meaning, you may want to, you know, just let it go by until you have more understanding. That's fine. We're not offended. You consider yourself and make your decision. We're going to have the Lord's table in the next little while. Okay, we thank you.